From a small office in a big city adjacent, this is Profits and Pop Stars Podcast. Is this all there is? I mean, really. Isn't there supposed to be a little bit more? If you find yourself asking those questions and more about a life of faith, then this episode is for you. Prophets and Pop Stars, Episode 3, Noticing God. Hey, thanks for listening. My name is Chris, and this is Prophets and Pop Stars Podcast. Today's episode is called Noticing God. Now, where this comes from is a little devotional reading that I picked up from Richard Peace, who's a professor at Fuller Seminary. And he's released a book called Noticing God. And as I was looking at Amazon, wondering, oh, wow, what book could I get that I really don't need but would look really good on my pile of books, I saw this. And I thought, you know, it would be really great if I learned how to notice God. Because I have this fundamental belief that God is present, and I push against that, and there are times where I feel closer, and there are times where I feel less close. But even I, as I was looking at it, just thought, gosh, I would really love to know how to notice God. And so I picked this book up, and I committed to reading a chapter of it a day, and that's mostly gone well. Fortunately, there has been a morning that I slept in, and that was awesome. So the book is Noticing God by Richard Peace. How do we notice the presence of God? How do you notice the presence of God? In this book, he presents several aspects as though it were kind of a prism. One side is mystical encounters. One side is God in the ordinary. And that's something that I was really interested in, learning how to see God in the commonplace. Another side is that still, small voice. How do we listen to the voice of God, and how do we know when it's the voice of God? He's got a chapter on the power of community, discerning the voice of God within community, the people that are around you. And then the written word. How do we hear the voice of God in Scripture? And that's a great look at Lectio Divina. And also, a lot of this is moving us towards becoming familiar with something called Ignatian Examen. We'll talk a little bit about that in just a little bit. Next is creation, culture, and creativity, and that's more where this podcast is going, because that is really where I experience the presence of God. I experience the presence of God when the temperature outside and the particular angle of a sunset and a song on the radio just blend perfectly, and it becomes this transcendent thing that I'm in the middle of, and I don't know exactly how it creates what it creates, but it does. And I experience this, I don't know, this longing. I experience this presence. C.S. Lewis calls it this inconsolable longing. And Richard Peace writes this about this. He says, "I've come to feel that this sense of inconsolable longing is an intensified form of what I have called brushes with God, which are a gentle feeling that remains with us for a while. In contrast, the inconsolable longing is a sharp, intense, immediate, and fleeting. It's a pang of desire, a bolt of insight, and it is awful. It's often painful in a good sort of way. By it, we catch a glimpse of who we are, where our true home is, and thus where we belong. And we find that we deeply desire to be a part of that destiny. But then the window closes on this, and all we are left with is the longing." Have you ever had a moment like that? Please forgive the way I butchered the English language in reading that. But that there's just a moment where elements are focused correctly, and you get a glimpse through that lens of God and God's greatness and the wonder of the creation around you and the wonder of the culture that's rhythmically pulsing before you and behind you. Just something awesome happens there. And then he moves on, and the last chapter is church. Really? We can notice God in church? Recently, I read this article in USA Today, and it is about this kind of rampant individualism, this epidemic of I and me. In an analysis of words and phrases in more than 750,000 American books published in the past 50 years, researchers have found an emphasis on I before we, showing growing attention to the individual over the group. I'll put the article in the show notes, and you can look at that. You can look at that on your own. What researchers ended up saying were that independent and solo are used more than communal and team. And there's phrases like, I am special and me against the world, rather than there's a community spirit and it takes a village. We kind of get trapped in this individualism, this search for how I can make things better for me. And in looking at me, we tend to forget how to notice other things. And certainly this is an issue that I wrestle with in terms of how do I notice more of God? Well, I have to notice less of me. So for me, it was a worthwhile venture to stop and pay attention to noticing God. Maybe take this hour in the morning that I spend reading this book and learning. The Ignatian Examen is a process of taking a moment, stopping, and doing several things. One, showing gratitude, being grateful, going through your list of things that you have to be grateful to God. And as we spend time being grateful to somebody other than ourselves, in this case, Christ, it's easier to notice the presence of God when we see all the wonderful things that God has done. I mean, can you think of right now, if you took a moment, could you stop this podcast and make a list of things that Jesus has done in your life in the last 24 hours that you have to be grateful for? I mean, perhaps it was meeting a new friend, or perhaps it was something absolutely miraculous, like making it to the gas station even though your needle was buried in the red. Maybe it was you got in the car in a terrible mood and the radio station just happened to be DJ'd by Jesus and that song came on that makes you feel so completely better. I don't know, but what if you were to make a list of things that you were grateful for? Can you notice God in those? And secondly, what if you went back through the day and you kind of relived the moment like a DVD running backwards? And you saw places where God's fingerprints were just everywhere, where you did something and it really made a difference for someone, or someone did something that made a difference for you, or you got a phone call, or you made a phone call, or you got a text, or you sent a text. Maybe it was, I don't know, you just thought of somebody. Somebody popped into your heart and you prayed for them, or maybe somebody popped into your heart and it's because they were praying for you. I don't know what happens in your 24 hours, but the Ignatian Examen calls us to stop and look over the last 24 hours and find the places where God showed up in peace, with love and joy, faithfulness, kindness, the fruits of the Spirit in those ways that changed the trajectory of our hearts. And then the third piece of this is to have a time of confession, where we can say, thank you, Lord, for all this stuff. And then, Lord, here's where I saw you. And Lord, here's where I know I fell short. When we confess, we renounce individualism. We renounce the I, me, mine. And we join into the divine we, that heavenly community of saints. Confession is a way to join ourselves to something bigger than ourselves, not to dive into a pool of shallow guilt, but to leap into a wellspring of eternal life. Recently, I watched this film called Prometheus, and you probably saw it. A bunch of people probably saw it. Prometheus is the story of, it's the prequel to the Aliens, and I was really hyped up because I wanted to see more aliens. I thought, oh, this will be awesome to get to see where they came from. And here's big spoilers if you have not seen Prometheus, and it is your heart's desire, and for some reason you were unconscious for the entire time it was in theaters, then stop this now and maybe go back to the beginning because there's some fun music. But Prometheus is not a story really about aliens. It seemed to be, in the last 3 minutes, a story about the beginning of the aliens, but instead, Prometheus was the beginning of us. Prometheus was a story about origins. It was an alternative genesis. It was the filmmaker's way of saying, we don't know where we came from, let me tell you, and the answer is... That's right, aliens. What I found really fascinating about this film, Prometheus, was that God was hidden. That God was really nowhere in this film. In fact, it was really difficult to tell who the gods were. There was a character that was playing God. There was a character who was the god of the species that created men. And what they found was that this greater species, this species of kind of Titan, if you'll allow me the word, were bent on destroying and annihilating humanity. And so the question was very much the way that the Greeks and the Romans would have looked to their gods is, why are you bent on destroying us? Why did you create us in the first place? And that is a question that goes unanswered. I think the intent of Prometheus was to be really cool and philosophical, like The Matrix. The Matrix touched on so many aspects of faith and religion and the presence and the absence and the hiddenness of God, almost without even trying, although I know that the writer-directors did a lot of work in creating kind of a compelling world here. Prometheus missed the mark there, as far as I'm concerned. The Matrix was a more interesting story, and it has this theme of noticing. You've got this human race that is subdued by alien technology or futuristic technology. And some of them are able to break out of the Matrix, break out of the imprisonment in that technology, and they're able to have real life. And it's at that point that they begin to look for this Moses that they find in Keanu Reeves' Neo, who leads them, who liberates them from Pharaoh, who in this case is a swarm of mechanical octopuses. That's what they look like. They're mechanical octopi. Noticing God is about freedom. It's about being freed from the Matrix. It's about being freed from the prison of self. Noticing God is a noble task. It's a hard work. And the reason I'm talking about it is because I know that it's work that I need to do. A few nights ago, Rebecca and I, my wife, watched this movie called Wanderlust. And it is not for small children, but it is hysterical. We laugh so much. I laugh so much. And what it centers around is these two people who have really lost themselves in themselves, and they're on a quest. It's a quest story. They're in a quest to find out who they really are, and where they find themselves is in this New Age spiritualist commune called Elysium. It is hysterical. There's a very, very naked dude that wanders around, and he is the person that you would not want to see first thing in the morning. But these two people are on a quest. They're looking for something bigger than themselves. They want to be a part of something bigger. And that's why I want to notice God. Because in noticing God, I notice something bigger than myself. Music has always been a way that I've noticed God, and lately there's a couple of bands that just to me, I don't even know if the lyrics make sense, but the sound of the band and the mood and the emotion with which they play and sing, it just seems to be a place, a sonic location where heaven and earth collide. The first band I'm going to talk about is a band called Of Monsters and Men, and they're relatively new, and they're from Scandinavia. And, you know, I was looking over some lyrics from the song that I'm going to include on the show notes, and the lyrics are just outlandish. It's a story about a dragonfly who goes away and comes back and tells a story about bees who wage war against the animals. And the birds and the animals gang up on the bees, and they end up winning, I think. It's a mystical story. It's a crazy little story, but the melody and the music with which the story is told or by which the story is told is fascinating to me. It's as though this song carves through the fabric of time and space, and for a moment, when I'm listening, there's a glimpse of something I would have never have been able to see otherwise. And there's another band, Mumford & Sons. I just can't get enough of this band. Take a song like Awake My Soul, which is a title just ripped out of the Psalms. And I don't know how religious this person is. I recently read in an article that Mumford's parents run the Vineyard churches in the UK, so I haven't gone deep into his background or his religious background, but there's just so much overtone of noticing God on their records. And they've got a new one coming out called Babel, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but that is a Genesis reference. And the first cut off of this album that we can listen to now and is posted on the website is called I Will Wait. And here are some of the lyrics from I Will Wait. So I'll be bold as well as strong and use my head alongside my heart. So take my flesh and fix my eyes, that tethered mind free from the lies. But I'll kneel down, wait for now, I'll kneel down, know my ground, raise my hands, paint my spirit gold, and bow my head. Keep my heart slow, because I will wait. I will wait for you. That's rocking. As a matter of fact, stop the podcast now and press play on that YouTube because it's awesome. So how do you notice God? How does God invite you into his greater presence? Where do you experience that inconsolable longing, that clash between heaven and earth, the place where you feel that if you could just get stuck there, you would really know what it is to feel like heaven? I'd love to know. Leave a comment. Twitter me. Facebook me. Whatever you have to do. I would love to hear from you. Noticing God. Just as a parting shot, here's a couple of ways that you can notice God maybe a little better even right now. Just stop. Stop. Whatever you're doing, stop. 2 minutes. Slow down. Chew your food more slowly. If you're on a bicycle, slow down. If you're at your desk, stop doing five things. Just do two or see if you can do one. And listen. If you can carve out a place for silence, can you hear a still, small voice saying, hello? Or in community, if you're around a bunch of people, is there a way for you to ask, Jesus, how can I hear you in these people? Are you around people who affirm your life and confirm the things that you feel like God is leading you to do? Seek out ways to find places where heaven and earth collide. You know, for me, it's music a lot of times, and I've noticed myself noticing God or even noticing God's absence in film and in television. Where do you notice heaven and earth colliding? And then write it down. Blog it, podcast it, write a poem, write a book, write an article, draw a picture of it. Just find some way to sit with that a moment. What did you notice? Write it down. Well, that's it for Prophets and Pop Stars Podcast Episode 3. Hey, thanks for listening. I know that you could be doing a dozen other things and taking the time out to notice God with me. It's been a pleasure. Hope you listen again. Another episode coming up next week or thereabouts, and I think I'm going to be looking at the positive health benefits of using sporks instead of silverware or something. Peace out.